Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Fenyo. This is the Early Prelim Podcast. Monday, for the first time in a while, I think. I was absent last week, but we're back. So we had an Apex card, and we have a pay-per-view this week. And because I was absent, there have been a lot of fight announcements to talk about. So why don't we get into it right now? Last Saturday, we have UFC Fight Night, Nicolau versus Perez. It was alright. Now, why don't we go from top to bottom? Main event had Alex Perez taking on somewhat short notice against Mateusz Nicolau, who was supposed to rematch Manel Kapp in the main event. If we remember, Nicolau and Kapp had a very close fight where they were like first round clear to Nicolau, second round clear to Kapp, and then the third round was very close. And then Alex Perez, who was like cursed to shit for a while, couldn't get a fight. And then it took him like super long to come back. He got washed by current champion Alexander Pantoja, who just went at him, just took his back, submitted him immediately. And here Perez looked fantastic. He looked great here. Was using a lot of feints, a lot of variety in his entries to fight a very patient counterpuncher in Mateusz Nicolau, and got the knockout on the second round. Fantastic stuff. Doubling up the right hand when Nicolau was circling against the fence. Nicolau put the stonewall defense, similar to what Dustin Poirier does, with his left hand covering his shin, elbow high. He dropped after the second right hand from Perez to throw a right hand, dropped his guard completely, and Perez just threw yet another right hand and folded him in half. So, great comeback for Alex Perez, because he's very good, and it's been said in this part of like MMA spheres that Perez doesn't get the respect that he deserves. I think he's very good, and I think this win puts him back on track. Nicolau, who was looking very promising, now has rough fights to Roybal and Perez, like nothing to be ashamed of, but it puts like a halt to his momentum for sure. But yeah, I mean, good stuff in flyweight. What's next for both these guys? Maybe Perez versus like Kai Kara-France, I would guess. And for Nicolau could maybe fight the loser of the main event. No, I'm not sure, dude. I would have to see. Maybe Nicolau can fight the winner of a certain fight that I'll be talking about later. Co-main event had, for some reason, I don't know, Bogdan Guskov against Ryan Spann. And Guskov, he's like not very good, but he's like budget Jiří Procházka in some sense. He's not as weird, but he has like the super funky punching mechanics, has very good feel to put combinations together and find some weird trajectory in his punches to deliver with a lot of power. And here he timed a very nice uppercut to Ryan Spann, and the ground and pound was brutal, man. Ryan Spann, who got to mount on the first round, I think he was looking to like wrestle here. I think that I have noticed over the years, like I've been for more than 10 years, is that European guys, especially like Russian adjacent fighters, especially from heavier weight classes, they're like weirdly well-rounded, even when they're not very good. And it showed in this fight, like Guskov, yeah, he fucked up defending the takedown, but he had like solid defensive grappling. And I think a lot of guys, especially like American fighters, they fold when they get into their backs, like the big dudes, like heavyweights. And wasn't the case for Guskov. I think they take the whole facets of MMA training a bit more seriously over there in Russia and those countries, like former USSR territories. While American like big fighters are a lot more concerned about like creating a game that allow them to win fights, And obviously they also try to be like well-rounded, but they always have like these big holes, because I think they're like trying to polish a game to win fights instead of like getting good everywhere. It's like two different approaches. I'm not saying either is one is better than the other. Obviously you don't want to have big holes, but also you want to have a process that allows you to win the most fights. So it's just an observation. Karina Silva fought Ariane Da Silva, I think, or formerly Ariane Lipski. Close fight. Silva with more volume, but I thought Lipski had like better connections, especially inside the clinch with big knees in the third round. That I thought Da Silva, Ariane, won the first and the third round. But judges didn't see it like that. I think there was like 30-27 to Karina Silva, who won a unanimous decision here. Silva, not very well put together, but very athletic, obviously. And like, not super good wrestler, but very good grappler. Ariane Lipski showed like very good fundamental grappling sometimes to like stay in the fight, because Silva is like a finisher in the ground. So it was a promising fighter for both girls. Not sure how well they do against the top of the division, to be honest. I think they still need more time if possible before fighting. And now with Karina Silva, Ariane Da Silva now, and Natalia Silva, we have like a bunch of Silvas, Brazilian Silvas, ranked at 125. Jonathan Diniz, or Diniz, I'm not sure, he fought Austin Lane, similar to the Ryan Spann versus Gusko fight. Austin Lane gets a takedown the first round, gets to mount, does some decent damage, and then got super tired, didn't fight, and Diniz, a former kickboxer, just fucked him up. Very gnarly knockout here. David Onama and Jonathan Pierce, JSP, had the fight of the night, in my opinion. Onama clearly like quicker, better striker, but Pierce was doing some stuff, doing some work, especially with the rear kick, pressuring, landing some big punches, and then going for grinding takedowns, taking the back, but Onama reversing a lot. I thought it was like first round to Onama, second to Pierce. Third was close, but I thought Onama edged it. Onama wins a unanimous decision, and he remains like impressive. He's very solid in 145. I think a win over Jonathan Pierce is very good. Uros Medic fought Tim Means. I was expecting this one to be a bit depressing. Tim Means tried to like wrestle very hard here, but Medic was defending well. Medic timed an uppercut on Means, like tendency to dip to his right, because both guys are sharp here. So Medic landed a huge like rear uppercut and finished it. So yeah, I mean, good for Medic. He has been looking good at 170. Not sure what's next for him. 170 is so weird as a division. He got like super grappled his last fight. Tim Means is over 40 years old, so it's whatever. Victor Henry fought Hani Yaya. I was expecting Victor Henry to beat the shit out of Yaya here. Yaya, for his credit, was levering well the takedown threat to just throw wild on the feet. He has been doing that for a while in his career now. But Victor Henry is just like very solid defensively, both as a wrestler and as a grappler. So I thought this was a very bad matchup, especially because Yaya gets tired. Victor Henry, not the kind of dude that you want to get tired against. Henry, a lot of right hooks to the body. Not a lot of left hooks. I wonder what was the deal with that. But yeah, Henry getting some nice right-hand counters over the top as well. More of a merciful stoppage here. It got ugly. Austin Hogar for Michal Figlak. And it was a close fight. It was pretty good. Some people were saying like, this fight kind of sucked. The guys didn't get out of like second gear, I would say. Figlak weirdly did not put like a lot of combinations together, just sticking to pressuring behind the 1-2. Hovard fought the jab of Figlat with his own jab to good effect and was like landing more variety. It was a very close fight, I think. I think you could score it for either guy. Hover got the unanimous decision here. It seems like they are keeping Figlak. I hope he can put it together. He's a cool fighter when he does his stuff. But I'm glad for Hover. I think Hover is very underrated as well. This was a solid scrap. Don't tell Mez for Caio Machado. I don't even remember this one. It was okay, I guess. I watched this fight. I don't remember shit. Don't tell Mace, like putting his hand down, shoulder rolling at times, trying to be flashy. But a lot of the times when he was trying to like showboat, he was getting tagged. But he was still landing the better shots, I think. It's whatever. Ketlen Sosa fought Marnik Mann. Sosa looks solid at times, especially combination punching against the cage. Looked very solid wrestling-wise. But she was like making it hard on herself. Should have looked for the finish harder. Marnik Mann is not very big for the weight class, not very athletic. And is not like a very good wrestler despite being a grappler. So she has a lot going against her. But she's so fucking tough, man. But yeah, I mean, all the toughness in the world cannot make for the like skill differential in some areas. And also the physicality, like Sosa was way more athletic than her, stronger, bigger hitter, quicker, so it was tough for Manic Man. Chris Padilla made his debut in the UFC against also debuting Peruvian James Jontop. And Jontop was looking solid on the feet, he was landing good strikes, he was clearly ahead, and when Padilla was trying to time his big takedowns, Jontop was making sure to like press on the head, push up the hips, get back. His get up game was looking very solid, but then he just fucked up getting up, and Padilla with a very slick back take with the hand, with his forearm already under the neck, he gets the rear naked choke. So a good debut for Padilla. Like, it's interesting to see. This was lightweight, right? Yeah. A good addition to lightweight. Jontop looks solid too. I hope he gets the wrestling thing figured out, because he looks to be a solid striker with good grappling, good get-ups. But I would say it's always better to actually defend takedowns than trust your ability to get back up. I would say that, to be honest. Ivana Petrovic for Na Liang. Na Liang came out like a house on fire, throwing like super hard rear kicks, punching, going for takedowns, very dynamic. And then she got tired, and Petrovic took over and then got the arm triangle choke on the third round. And the opener was solid too. Mahesate fought Mowgli Benitez, who has been in a rough patch as of late. This was very close, missed the first round. I thought second one was for like Mowgli, and third maybe Mahishate had like a big moment at the end, but I thought it was like a Mowgli round. And then the third, kind of the same. I think you could score for either guy, I guess. It will depend on the first round. Did not catch up with that. It was a solid night of fights. It was okay. It wasn't fantastic or anything. It was alright. Main event, like Alex Perez. The highlights for me, obviously, like Victor Henry. Onama looked solid despite like showing some flaws, and then Alex Perez looked fantastic here. Let's get into some fight announcements. I have a lot to talk about. Miles Jones is fighting Douglas Silva de Andrade in a bantamweight fight. Just a fight between stocky, very jacked guys. it should be a good fight. Both guys are pretty good. Jones tends to like get tired, but he still fights very well tired. Silva de Andrade is a bit like disjointed, but he's very good everywhere. It should be a good scrap. Interesting to see Miles Jones is going to attempt takedowns in this one. Talking about bantamweight, Ricky Simon will fight Vinicius Oliveira at the Lock Dog. Not sure how Lock Dog does against such a potent wrestler in Ricky Simon. But also Ricky Simon, I'm not sure where his head is at the moment. I thought the loss to Song Yadong was hard on him on the mental side, and then against Bautista they had like a close fight, but Bautista still like won and was able to compete in the wrestling that Ricky Simon was trying to push very hard. So interesting. But yeah, I like Ricky, but I think he's not fulfilling his potential. I think he's very cool when he's on, but he relies a lot on like being the athlete, the strong guy out there. And because he's going to find guys that will be able to match him in those departments. Especially he's on the stocky side and doesn't fight very long, so he needs to like cover distance against these longer bantamweights. So interesting to see. Jared Cannonier will fight Nasruddin Imavov. And this is a main event, by the way. So, very good fight. I think Imavov is one of the few guys that I think are, like, problematic for Cannonier. I will pick Cannonier over most of the division very confidently. But this one is... If it goes long, I can see Cannonier, like, figuring out some stuff. But I think Imavov just being, like, so long and relying on that length and maintaining long distance can be frustrating for Cannonier. Also, Imavov, like, a bigger hitter than he gets credit for. And Cannonier is, like, very old. I feel like at any moment we will start seeing Cannonier get rocked very bad, like we saw against Marvin Vettori. So yeah, I mean this one is interesting. It's interesting, and the winner in this one gets very well positioned to maybe like a title eliminator, maybe. Dominic Reyes is back and he's fighting Dustin Jacoby. I get that Jacoby is not like the biggest puncher in the division, but yeah, he's going to fuck up Dominic Reyes. He's going to fuck up Dominic Reyes. And it's going to suck. I mean, I love Dustin Jacoby. I like him, like, way more than I should for some reason. But Dominic Reyes used to be good, man. And he's not good anymore. Like, it was so quick. He looked very bad in that... in the Jan Blachowicz fight for the title. Then he looked like somewhat himself, but shaky against Jiri. And then he looks so fucking bad against Ryan Spann. Ryan Spann, who is not good. Like, he's big athletic dude with some skills, but when it comes to winning fights, Ryan Spann is not it when it comes to UFC level. So it's not a fight that Dominic Reyes should be losing, not in that fashion. So yeah, I mean, I don't have any faith in Dominic Reyes moving forwards. I think Dustin Jacoby is going to fuck him up. This one... It's like, I see that people are very, very excited for this fight. And I am too, I gotta say. Joshua Ban was supposed to fight Sumo Derji. Sumo Derji is out and filling in for him is Tatsuro Taira. That's a crazy fight between like very young prospects. One thing here is that this one is somewhat a short notice. He will have like 1 month to prepare, but Joshua Ban was doing a camp to fight like a long striker, and now he's fighting like a smothering grappler. And I think that when the striker takes short notice and it changes from striker to grappler, that fight always, it's in favor of the grappler, I feel, most of the time. But will be very interesting. Like, Joshua Ban has looked solid defending takedown. He's very athletic, fundamentally sound. And will have like a big striking advantage against Taira. Taira, who has power himself on the feet, but has been a sucker for the left hook. Joshua Ban has a great left hook. But we never seen Ban against this level of grappler. Like, Taira is so good from top position. So maybe this fight won't be that good. There's a chance that the winner just walks over the other guy. But still, like, very compelling between two guys that everyone seemed to love at flyweight, so they should, like, Kaposa, I think, said on Twitter, like, they should put this one as the pay-per-view opener, because this one is going down at UFC 302. And I agree, man, like, do not bury this one on the prelims. Show the big next, like, flyweight talent, showcase it on pay-per-view, please. Joaquin Buckley is fighting Nursultan Rusiboyev, that very long, tall 185er. And this is apparently at welterweight? It's very weird. I mean, we saw Shidi and Jukwani drop from 185 to 170, and he looked alright in his last fight, so interesting to see if Rusi Boy will be able to make the cut successfully. Buckley has experience because he used to fight at 185 against tall dudes, but he doesn't have a lot of tools except like closing the distance explosively, but maybe that can work. Rusi Boy fights very long, he has like a super long one too, so interesting to see. Maybe Buckley will try to wrestle, I don't know, but it's whatever. Nathaniel Wood is back and he's fighting Daniel Pineda at UFC 304. This is on July 27th. Banger fight. Like, Pineda is a dog, man, and Nathaniel Wood, since moving to featherweight, has looked great. Well, we all felt he got robbed in his last fight because no point deductions. His opponent was allowed to cheat a lot, so hoping Nathaniel Wood bounces back. Daniel Pineda, like, not very tall, but he's a thick dude, man. I expect him to be like a lot bigger than Wood here, but still, I mean, this one should be a banger. Like, both guys are down to scrap, but also both very well rounded. Pineda is a very cool grappler, and Wood has looked like strong as a wrestler and a grappler at 145, despite not being super big. So, very cool fight. Mike Malott will fight Gilbert Urbina. They're just giving Mike Malott a gimme here. They like him a lot, I think. They like a lot the Mike Malott, so I think Malott will win, like, however he wants. Gilbert Urbina, not very good. Andrea Lee, who is, like, in a 4th-5 losing streak, I feel, but I still feel like she's pretty good. She's fighting Montana De La Rosa, and this is probably, like, loser leaves town. Andrea Lee, I feel like very bad matchup for De La Rosa, just like very strong to defend the takedowns of De La Rosa, better striker. But you never know when fighters go into these losing streaks, you never know where they are mentally, so who knows. I think this is good matchmaking. Jamal Hill, after getting brutally knocked out by Alex Pereira, is taking a fight on UFC 303. Not sure that's enough time to recover from a bad concussion like that. He's fighting Khalil Roundtree. This one should be very exciting. It's a very good fight. I think Roundtree has a chance here. I'm still favoring Hill here, but what makes me nervous is just fighting like such a powerful dude after you got knocked out. I don't like to see that, but on paper, this is a good fight, very good fight. Especially for like heavyweight, which is like a wasteland, so I'm excited about this one. Oh, this is boy-on-boy violence for me. Two of my favorites, two better rounds. Here we have Cobb Swanson. He will fight Andre Fili at UFC 303. Great fight, great matchmaking, I feel like. This is just fantastic. I just hope both guys have fun. If I have to root for one guy, I will always root for Cobb Swanson, one of my all-time favorites, but I love Andre Fili as well. It's great. Great fight. Good matchmaking. I approve of this. Mayra Bonosilva is coming back after losing her title bid against Raquel Pennington, and she's fighting Macy Chiasson. And this is interesting because Chiasson, despite being very different from Rocky, she brings a lot of the same stuff to the table. She puts on a pace, she can compete everywhere, she's dangerous in the clinch, she will look for takedowns a lot. So interesting to see how Mayra Bonosilva deals with this. Bonosilva, to her advantage in this one, is only 3 rounds, so maybe Bonosilva's cardio will be there to win this fight. But I feel like this is very good matchmaking. If Chiasson wins this one, she positions herself very well for maybe a title eliminator. What else we have? Loic Rachabov is fighting Trey Ogden. Fight between like very well-rounded guys, strong guys, but Rachabov obviously more powerful, but also like more flowy. He's some more of a vibes guy. And Ogden, super like process driven, like not very damaging, but like a smart fighter that puts it together. So it's good matchmaking, I feel. Gabriel Bonfim is back after like his loss and not being undefeated anymore after getting trucked by Nicolas Dalby in his last fight. And he's fighting Ange Lusa, who was looking pretty lost against Ryan Battle. Gabriel Bonfim doesn't have the length of Battle, so I think Lusa will get to look a bit better here. It's a good fight. And the last one that I wanted to talk about is Aladdin Haley will fight Clayson Rodriguez. Just going to be a lot of fun. Like, just like explosive, stiff guys throwing heat. I cannot get mad about that. And bantamweight is always fun. So let's get into the pay-per-view. As you know, I'll be making the full preview in a couple of days. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. But you know, the pay-per-view will be out there. So I'll just touch on the fight like pretty quickly before leaving. And after the full preview for members of the Patreon, I will be having a bonus full preview follow-up with some clips, some stuff on video probably, just for the diehard fans, for anyone that is supporting, as a way to say thanks. I want to give like a bit of extra content with more like video and that kind of stuff. So let's get into the card. The opener is a banger. Alessandro Costa is fighting Kevin Borjas. Very cool fight. Like, both guys like to punish the legs and the body a lot. They have like different styles. Alessandro Costa fights out of this longer stance, like moving in and out. Borjas is more of like a boxer that moves on the outside behind his jab and put his combinations together. Very cool. After that, we have Ismael Bonfim, the brother of the other Bonfim, and he's fighting Vince Pichel. Bonfim, who has not seen action since losing to Benoit Saint-Denis, he's fighting Vince Pichel, and this is very exciting because Pichel puts a pace. He's very well-rounded. He's so scrappy despite being old, and Bonfim is like this very dangerous counter-puncher that gets a bit wild when putting combinations together, but both guys very well-rounded. I think this one is going to be fireworks. Dione Barbosa is fighting Ernesta Karekaite. I think both girls come from Contender Series. Haven't watched tape on this. I have no idea who these girls are. If any of them are interesting, I'll be posting clips. Mauricio Huffy is fighting Jamie Mullarkey. I also don't remember Huffy from Contender Series. Mullarkey kind of on a rough sketch right now, so maybe he gets caught if he loses this one. And that would be a shame because Mullarkey is a lot of fun. But I think he's having like mental lapses as of late. And those are like exaggerating the flaws that he has. He's not like super athletic, super dangerous. But he's a smart dude that hits hard. So I like Mullarkey a lot. But Neto BJJ is fighting Drakkar Klose. I used to be a big hater of Drakkar Klose. I thought he was fighting so boring. But his last two fights, he has been on fire. I support this version of Drakkar Klose. And you know, Neto BJJ, Joaquim Silva, always brings it. So I'm expecting this one to be very exciting, actually. Jan Silva, who is like a big southpaw puncher, he's fighting William Gomez. And William Gomez is a fraud, man. He's not a real fighter. What are we doing here? Why is William Gomez on a pay-per-view? I am a William Gomez hater. William Gomez is my new Drakkar Klose. He's so bad to watch. He's not like terrible. I feel like he's actually UFC level. He's okay. He's not fun to watch, dude. He's not fun to watch. Otobai, who was the guy who grappled who grappled who? I just talk about the guy who got grappled by Otobai. Who was it? Having a moment here. A very good professional podcast. Oh yeah, Uros Medic, who just knocked out Team Means. Yeah, so Otobai is dropping to 155. I thought he looked pretty big. And he's fighting Elvis Brenner, like the undercard god of violence, Elvis Brenner, teammate of DuBronx, Charles Oliveira. Interesting, because Brenner, the grappling from guys from from Shooter Box, Diego Lima, looks very solid always, but you know, some of them have this like weakness to those very smothering, controlling grapplers, so very intriguing. Maybe not a good fight, especially if Orobai like gets to the top and Brenner just like survives, but very intriguing. And Orobai, maybe like, if Orobai can like just grapple Elvis Brenner, he will be a problem for 155, and 155 is getting populated with wrestlers again. So, with wrestlers and grapplers that are very insisting, like we have like Benoit Saint-Denis, we have Gamrot, Sarukian, who is not shy about taking down anyone. Obviously, the champion is a Makhachev, so interesting, interesting. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, my girl, is fighting Yasmin Lucindo. Lucindo, into this fight, the way bigger puncher, more athletic. But Karolina, this late resurgence into her career, I think she has looked pretty solid. Good cardio, still able to compete physically. I'm a bit scared about the power of Lucindo. But if it goes long and Karolina starts like putting the volume, works behind the jab, finding her right hand counters, it could get interesting. Joanderson Brito, after his win against JSP, who we talked about earlier, he's fighting Jack Shore, who is like in this second fight after moving up from bantamweight. Very exciting fight, because like Brito is probably not a dude that you want to fight as a former bantamweight, because he's like pretty tough, he's so fucking strong, and Jack Shore likes to grapple. Jack Shore probably a better submission grappler than JSP, and a lot better on the feet, but JSP probably like the stronger dude when it comes to actually imposing a wrestling game. And even if you wrestle Brito is not like out of resources there, so very interesting fight. I love Jack Shore, but I think this one is kind of rough. Paul Craig is fighting Caio Bojalio, the fighting nerd. I think this one should be a showcase for Caio. Not to shit on Paul Craig. I think Paul Craig is kind of cool, and not a lot in the striking. He's aggressive enough, though, and the guard game is pretty cool. But this one is a fight where I feel like Caio should go for takedowns to stay on top position, especially if he does his homework. He's very good grappler from top. He has ground and pound. And he will have an advantage on the feet, but I think it will be easier to just take Paul Craig down. But I think Caio Bojalio, the kind of dude that will approach this one like smart. So he will try to keep it on the feet. I think on the feet he still wins it. Just like a better fighter overall. But still an interesting challenge. Interesting challenge for a guy that usually uses takedown in transition. Paul Craig is always like a good test for that, because you gotta see like they can set up the takedowns and staying safe, and if they can avoid going for takedowns and still don't fall apart when they don't have the option to go to the ground to get out of trouble. So that's very interesting. Michel Pereira, who has been on fire since moving to middleweight, the Demolidor, is fighting the duelist Ihor Pochera, and this one is kind of good actually. Like, it's actually like a decent fight. Pereira probably will be very dangerous early, but Ihor has looking very solid as of late, actually. In his last fight before moving down to 185, he looked good. One thing to consider is that he missed weight in his last fight, but hopefully he can make the weight here. He's doing a lot of like southpaw tricks. He always been relying on that, but he plays a lot more with rhythm, has better like distance management. I think Pochera has improved a lot. I thought he was pretty bad when he won his fight on Contender Series, when he fought Shogun and he did the legendary dance. I thought he looked pretty bad in that fight too, but since then I think Pochera has looked solid. He also got killed by Olberg, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm starting to like non-ironically like Ihor Pochera. The duelist is getting around, man. But yeah, I mean, this is a good fight for 185. And for sure, it's going to be exciting. Like, guys are going to bring it. And then you have Anthony Smith versus Vitor Petrino for some reason. What in the fuck? What's the deal with the UFC and Anthony Smith? I'm guessing they're trying to get Petrino a win, but still. And Petrino, a monster of an athlete, can be boring. Can be boring from top position, can be passive and on open space. So this fight has a big chance to suck. Or maybe there's like a huge knockout or Anthony Smith takes his back and submits him. I'm not saying there's a zero chance this is good. I'm just saying there's a big chance of the contrary. Co-main event is Jonathan Martinez, the Dragon. He's fighting Jose Aldo in a bantamweight fight. And like, not sure how I feel about this. I feel like Aldo in his last few fights, the fight against Merab, I don't know, man. It was very close, but Aldo was not doing enough, man. It was very depressing. But when he does stuff, he looks very good. Martinez, the thing, I always talk about this, like, I hate the kicker versus old guy matchup. I feel like the old guy gets kicked to pieces, but Jose Aldo is one of the few guys that actually defends all time, all kinds of kicks. So it's interesting, but it can get very sad if Aldo gets kicked to pieces. In his prime, this would be a wash for Aldo. Like, it's such a bad matchup, just defense kicks very well. Way better boxer, better positionally. And Martinez has been susceptible to like wonky punchers in the past. He lost to Davy Grant. Yeah, Jose Aldo has that like loopy right hand that can get wild and can surprise people. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, but it's okay. If Jose Aldo wins, I'm going to be hyped. And I like Jonathan Martinez a lot, but as you know, there's something about the old goats still pulling the fights together. And then with that, we are at the main event, and this Alexander Pantoja, he's fighting Steve Ercek, Astro Boy from Australia. Just three fights into his UFC career, already fighting for the title. Apparently, Mokaev didn't take the fight, I'm not sure. This one should be a banger, to be honest, because both guys very well-rounded, very aggressive, and some of the flaws of Ercek and Pantoja overlap with the offense of the other very well, so it will be a dangerous fight for both guys. If Pantoja pushes a pace, can get very interesting, because you know he gets tired and he can still fight tired. Ercek, I think he has a little bit of experience over five rounds. I think he was a champion in Australia. Not sure if he ever went long. Apparently not. Because he has been scheduled for five rounds, but he has been getting finishes. So yeah, I mean, it's very exciting because both guys very aggressive on the feet. Ercek, like maybe the cleaner puncher, but Pantoja is like kind of smart on the feet, despite looking very sloppy at times. And then on the ground, Pantoja is tremendous, but Ercek looks a monster of a scrambler, good submissions. So who knows? And if either of the guy gets the upper hand cardio-wise, it can get ugly for the other one. So I'm very excited about this one. Is this like a super strong pay-per-view? Not sure. Like, it has Anthony Smith on the main card, so how strong can it be? But I think the main event is good, even though it's kind of like a filler title defense. Because obviously Steve Ercek is not like the undisputed number one contender. But I still think it's a dangerous fight for Pantoja. And I would rate Pantoja like super high if he wins this one. I rate title defenses, even when they are like somewhat short notice against not deserving contenders, I still rate those very high. Because you are defending the title against a guy that it will make sure to put on the camp of his life to win the title. You will see the best version of that fighter more times than not. So I think defending the title is very impressive here. And if Ercek wins, I deserve it, man. You beat the champion. So yeah, that's the pay-per-view, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sorry for my absence last week. I'll make up for you guys with the full preview pay-per-view and the bonus full preview show, the secret full preview that you can only find on Patreon. That will be available on Wednesday or Thursday, I think. So make sure to tune in for that. Thank you so much, guys. And if you want to get access to that and a lot of exclusive content, head out to our Patreon page, the Fight site. Drop a few bucks. You get access to a lot of stuff. We have a lot of like alternate commentaries, videos that were like pulled down from YouTube, and exclusive videos of other kinds too. We have a lot of stuff there. And you also get access to our Discord server. That is very cool. Like we always having cool chats about fighting in the Discord server. So yeah, good stuff. Head over to Patreon. Drop a few bucks to keep this going. If you enjoy the podcast and want to support monetarily, I would be very thankful. If you cannot support with money for whatever reason, it's all right. I appreciate you listening anyway. Thank you so much, guys. I'll catch you in a few days for the full preview. Bye.